I got word that the news was going to come in on the 24th, but it was after dragging on for so long, I kind of didn't know if it was going to be fully confirmed or not. So Marion was getting the kids ready. We were on the way to the track in the Mardyke, and Cahill and Megan were on midterm, so they were watching the television in the front room. Mara's up getting the babies ready, and I'm having my breakfast, and next thing I got a beep in my phone and looked at the heading, and it was like I had a generic mail from the Court of Arbitration. So I roared, called Mary, and I says, "Mar, this could be the news." And she ran downstairs with the babies, and Cahill and Megan ran in, and then I read it out, and I didn't know how I was going to feel about it beforehand, because it's after dragging on so long. I didn't know if it was just going to be an empty feeling, and you have an Olympic medal, but it was I was delighted. We were all delighted, you know. It was a lovely feeling. Like,
it must be tremendous validation for you though, as a clean athlete, to finally get this news.
Yeah, it is. And I couldn't, you know, people will go on and they're going to make stories about, you know, go on about the negatives of the doping, but this is a positive story. Like, you know, It's a positive story for me. It's a positive story for, you know, the 15 years of work that it got me to this point, and all of the successes and failures before it. And you know, and for me personally, to have a world, an Olympic, and a European medal, the first Irishman in history, it was mind blowing. It's hard to take it all in. Like,
and with regards to the fact that the IAAF made the appeal, is that going to speed up the actual reallocation now, or do you have any timeline on when you might actually get your hands on the medal?
I don't know. It's an Olympic medal, you see, so it's going to. I think my one is going to be done to the International Olympic Committee.
Okay.
So the sooner it's done, the better for me, like, because you don't want it to be going into June and July, where it'll just become a distraction before Rio, you know?
Mm. Are you angry, Rob, that you were denied your place on the podium that day, looking back on it now?
I'm not, no, Rory. Maybe when I retire, but because when I was fourth that day, I gave it, like, the performance, like, and everybody who was there watching the race and watching it at home, I did everything I could. And just on a sporting point of view, you know, I've been in races when I was younger, and I've been back in 15th and 16th, and you can just have a massive sense of satisfaction because you've given it everything. And on that day, I gave it everything, and while I was bitterly disappointed not to have a medal on the day, nobody has a right to stand on an Olympic podium, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of going, oh, maybe it wasn't for me. And I used it for motivation then for next year, and I went into Russia and won the World Championships.
Mm.
So right now, because I know I was moving forward, I never dwelled on the negative, you know? I took the positives out of London, and I just kept going, you know?
Mm. Rob, I remember speaking to you down at City Hall after you got your European medal retrospectively, and this is a bit of a different situation in the sense that I'm wondering, does it change or affect your Olympic preparation in the sense that you're preparing for your fifth Olympics now without an Olympic medal, whereas now you have one? So does it change or influence your preparation for Rio in any way?
Absolutely. Like, when I got the European medal retrospectively, and because I won the world, there was no mass on the European medal.
Yeah.
And I know he's saying it to lads this morning, like, I'm out training this morning, and I'm like going, a European 20-kilometre walk medal, when race walking in Europe is like running in Africa, it's such a prestigious medal. And it was kind of, oh yeah, that was only a European medal, you know, and it was just forgotten about. And I was afraid the same thing was going to happen with an Olympic medal, and I'm delighted that there's such a positive reaction about it, you know. But I know going into Rio, if I stay healthy and motivated and I want to do everything, I have the security net that I have all of the medals, and I can just really go and just try and express myself and race it and give it everything, and hopefully try and win the thing, or I can be more relaxed about it now, you know.
Mm.
Are we going to have a party to celebrate it, or are you going to wait until after Rio?
No, I'm saying he's ghostwriting my book. I'm with him there now today. I had a long session this morning, so we're spending a few hours together, and we were just chatting, and he was suggesting, like, you know, if we brought over the Aussie, if I got over Jared Talent and the Chinese guy, and we had an Olympic ceremony in the centre of Cork, maybe outside the Soho, and it would be, to mark the occasion, it could be huge for Cork, you know.
Absolutely, and it's recreating that moment you missed out on.
Yeah, you know, imagine it. I've no doubt that, you know, I definitely think that there's some Cork businesses around that would fly the lads over, you know, to have them over here. It could be great, like. So I think it's the medal is worthy of something like that. It's an Olympic medal. And, you know, I can remember the last Olympic medal Ireland won was when Sonia won it in Sydney. Mm. And I was in the stadium that night. And it was, you know, that night will live with me for the rest of my life. And now to actually have one myself, it's a huge achievement for me.
Mm. Just bouncing back towards this year's Olympics, Rob, in terms of what this ruling means for Russian athletics and the systematic doping that's been unveiled there, the fact that they're banned from international competition at the moment, do you think that could be lifted and there's any chance of them competing in these Olympics?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule anything out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. You know, you never know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, the doping in Russia itself, that's only tip of the iceberg with what was going on. The amount of corruption and the cover-ups, like, it was completely rotten. Like, you know, there was so many levels to it. And so hopefully, my opinion on it, my personal opinion, I've no begrudgery towards the Russian athletes, because I do believe it was systematic and that they had no, you do what you're told over there.
Mm.
But until there's such a strong anti-doping system, like, when you think of the anti-doping system that we have in Ireland, like, we invest more money in anti-doping in Ireland, in a culture that doesn't have a doping problem, than we actually do in a high-performance sport. Like, I could be tested up to 22 times a year, which the amount of money tested or spent in testing me is nearly more than the funding that I get to compete, you know.
And that's all within Ireland, Rob. That testing is coming from within.
I get tested by IAAF as well, so. But most of my tests are from the Irish, you know, the Irish Sports Council. But you know, now I'm glad of it, because I have a profile over the last 15 years of all of my tests. And, you know, people will go, oh, Rob Heffernan, how did he win? Is he not in drugs? And it's like, no, you know, our anti-doping system here is so airtight that if they were able to move into Russia, that then you could warrant them coming back. But until they have something strong enough that the rest of the world have trust in, that there's a proper anti-doping system there, they shouldn't be allowed to compete, because it's a systematic thing and it's a cultural thing. I don't think there's any problem with them doping over there, whereas in Ireland, if somebody went doping, your whole life is destroyed.
Mm.
You know, whereas over there, they just come back into competition and they don't think twice about it, you know?
Yeah, I know. Rob, it's been a great week for you. It's also been a great week for Olive Lochnan, who's changed her Twitter profile to World Champion. Have you had a chance to speak with Olive this week?
Yeah, I was chatting to her, you know, and it's a testament, you know, Olive is living in Cork now 20 years, like, and, you know, when me and Olive started out, we were training together for years, and she's another testament to somebody who's just chipped away and worked really hard. And I was even on about Olive to Liam yesterday, and we were like, you know, Olive is talented, but she's not the most talented person in history, but her one talent is, like, Olive would run through a wall. Like, she's just, her application and just her, the way, if she wants something, you have to get out of her way, like, you know. So it's she's a tough woman, like. So I remember that as well. Her race that day in Berlin was phenomenal. It was a brilliant race, and you know, it's great for her as well, you know.
And it's obviously, even just last month, or February, Sonia, and her possibly getting world championship medals as well there because of Chinese doping. It's all starting to really come through the surface now, where it's happening systematically, the whole lot.
Yeah. Again, with the Chinese, it's systematic. And I think, you know, I can remember as a child where I watched that race. Like, it was just, it was one of them huge nights in sport that I think everybody knows where they were when Sonia was running in that Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And when she finished fourth, sure, there was something wrong, you know, the times that they did, and it's no surprise. And, you know, Sonia was lucky that happened earlier in her career, and she still went on to become the biggest Irish sporting legend, in my opinion, in history, like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, it's at least it's been clamped down on, it's been cleaned up. And but saying that, you know, we can focus on all of that being camped up. We can still do a lot more here, you know. We can still do a lot more in providing the centres that they have in Russia for our Irish walkers. And, like, I have no doubt if I got all of the best Irish runners race walking and we had them in a centre training with coaches, with everything on a daily basis, that we would produce a lot more champions, you know.
Mm. Because I see you're heading off again, is it this week or the week after? For
tomorrow week.
Where are you going?
To the Atlas Mountains in Morocco.
Ooh.
How long for? What's involved there in terms altitude. Of just bringing, yeah, so altitude?
It's the closest point for me to go to altitude. It's at 1,800 metres altitude, so you've only two options really at that time of year. You either go to America, which your training will be interrupted because of jet lag, either way, you know, coming to and forth from America, and then the other option is going to South Africa, which is it's a lot of travelling to get down there, and to go to Efran in Morocco is only a flight to London, 3-hour journey then over the Fez, and it's 40 minutes up the road, so you're kind of close to home, you know.
Not so bad. Well,
Rob, thanks so much for talking to us. Olympic bronze medalist Rob Heffernan has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, good job.
Rob, keep us posted on your plans for the celebration, and we'll do our best to help you out with that, and congratulations. All right, again.
No bother. Thanks a lot.